Hello and good day, everyone. Welcome to episode number 50 of our First Pioneers podcast. You guys come to us because we are your go-to source for pioneer information online. I'm joined here by my co-host.
Ryan Schwenk. I am the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan. And as for our special 50/ anniversary topic today, you know, Kevin and I were kind of thinking of some different ideas on what to do for this episode.
We've had some high name guests on here lately. You know, we've had some big MTGO streamers. We've had some Magic pros. You got anything that can top that, Ryan?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's impossible to get some of the really big names on here, but it'd be great if we could get Gavin Verhey on here one of these days. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, you know, didn't you like meet him in Japan once?
Yeah, I wonder if he could stop by. Maybe I'll see if he can do that later on, maybe next year.
Hey, do any of you guys have water? I'm kind of thirsty. Anyone out there? Oh, hey guys, how's it going?
Hey.
Oh man. So guys, this is it. This is the big name. We've got him. Ryan, you want to go ahead and introduce our very very special guest here?
Today our special guest is Gavin, lead designer, I believe. Is that the correct title right now of Magic the Gathering?
Senior game designer on Magic the Gathering.
There you go.
I lead some things, but I'm not like the lead designer of all of Magic. That would be something to aspire to. Not quite yet. Someday.
So, but I don't think it's a stretch to say he's kind of been an architect, you know, some hands on everything we've been doing in Magic for the last probably 10 years. And, you know, kind of perfect for a Pioneer podcast. Pretty much the entirety of Pioneer fits within that range. So,
yeah, in fact,
you know, this is extremely exciting.
The first set I ever worked on was Return to Ravnica. So it seriously is. Like, it's exactly the lineup, right? Like, I started on Return to Ravnica, worked on, in some capacity, small or large, I've worked on every set since then. So how about that?
So, Gavin, I wanted to say one thing real quick. Some people aren't going to believe that this is actually the real you on this podcast. So is there anything you can, you know, maybe say or talk about to kind of prove that you're the real Gavin?
Well, my social security number is... I'll check my Twitter account. I probably tweeted about this podcast, so that'll give you something legitimate to look at. This, what I'll say is something I really love is I love being a member of the community and getting the chance to hang out with community members. And so when I was in Japan, it was probably about 3 years ago now, one of the times I was there somewhat recently, I was around for the Grand Prix Shizuoka, and Ryan just reached out and asked, hey, do you want to meet up and I'll show you around Japan some? And, you know, I mean, maybe for some people, like, just saying yes to that sounds like an opportunity to get murdered. But for me, I was like, yeah, sure, sounds like fun. Like, show me around. Let's do this thing. And so even though I had no idea who Ryan was, he was kind enough to show me around Japan. And to me, that's one of the great things about the community is, like, Magic players, we find each other immediately. You know, we are all kindred spirits. And so I had an amazing time with Ryan. We ate food. We talked about life in Japan. We played some games of Frontier back when that was kind of the thing that was being pushed over there before Pioneer came into existence. And, you know, a couple years later now, he's like, hey, do you want to come on my podcast? I'm like, absolutely. I'd be more than happy to come on. So Ryan is both an A-plus gentleman, but also a great friend. So I'm super happy to be here today talking with you all. And that is the story of how Ryan and I met each other.
I mean, it never hurts to ask, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I totally would respect anyone who's like, yeah, I'm not going to meet up with a random person I don't know. I 100% respect that.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm usually like, if I can do it, it sounds like a fun opportunity because you never know what neat thing might happen because of that. And I'm really glad that I did because it gave me this super unique opportunity. So happy to be here today.
Yeah, appreciate
you
coming
on. Like, you know, you see someone playing Magic in an airport and you sit down for a game of EDH with them. Like, that's heart racing for me. So reaching out like that, that's bull. I'm glad you guys were able to get in touch. Ryan's a good connector, and I think that's really how this podcast has been able to keep going. You know, you've gotten all these great guests on for us, Ryan, so thank you.
And hopefully we'll get lots more, you know, in the future as well. So, Gavin, you're just coming off a win in the Command Fest. Do you want to talk about that real quick, or...?
Yeah, so as we record this, you know, we've been doing these things called Command Fest online. We just had the third one. It'll be a few weeks ago by the time this podcast comes out. And one of the things that makes me really, really happy is how resilient Magic players are. You know, we're currently in a pandemic, at least here in the U.S. Maybe in Japan things are going a little better. But, you know, at least in the U.S. we're on total lockdown. People can't meet up to play Magic. But it's amazing that despite all that, Magic players have banded together to still create those opportunities. And so Command Fest Online is playing Commander against each other all day. You can log on and play matches and get paired and all that good stuff. But it's done over Spell Table with webcam. So you literally point your webcam down at your table and you play a game of Commander against each other. And that is so cool to me that even in this very difficult time, people are still finding ways to play Magic. And it's never the same as being there in person with folks. But by the same token, it does do some really cool stuff, which is let you play with people all around the world, right? So I just finished a game with players from all around the U.S., and I've played games with people all around the world before. So it's very, very cool that Magic persists this way. And I've even, you know, seen some stores take into running events for competitive formats over webcam as well. So, I mean, who knows what the future may hold, but I'm just really proud of Magic and the Magic community for inventing this style of play.
And in the same vein, I was going to say podcasts have been a great way to connect with people all over the world. Like, you know, we reached out when we were looking for guests months ago. We had somebody from Scotland, Martin Porter. He ended up, saying, yeah, I wouldn't mind coming on the show. And then he introduced us to his friends that he does MTGO with. So we got somebody from Israel now. We have somebody from Brazil now. We have all these people from all over the world. And they really can't do this, you know, outside of podcasts. I think, you know, back when I did my own websites, you know, you can write stuff, you can send them articles, but, you know, it's kind of hard, like I said, to know if it's really that person that's, you know, talking with them. You know what I mean? So,
yes,
Magic finds a way.
Indeed. And the Magic community is one of the best communities I've ever found anyway. So it makes me extremely happy.
All right.
Yeah, it keeps us all coming back even when we're even in a tough time like this.
Yeah, it'll bounce back stronger than ever next year.
Ryan, do you want to start steering some questions a little bit towards Pioneer? I mean,
yes.
I know that mostly we just want to hear what Gavin has to say, but we did have some some planned questions. We didn't just wander into this haphazardly.
Yeah, and you know, I'm happy to talk about anything. And Pioneer is really cool to me because when I was on the outside before I came into Wizards. In a sense, I contributed to the modern format. So I created this format called Overextended, which was the precursor to modern in a way. It kind of came up at the same time, and then some of the data from that helped inform Wizards as they were making modern simultaneously. And so then to eventually be at Wizards, while a new format was being created, right, while we were creating the thing that would go between modern and standard, something I'm very passionate about. And it's really cool to see the format kind of come into its own. And, you know, it's, of course, a bummer that paper tournaments aren't happening right now, but it's been very cool to see the format exist and all kinds of decks come out that could have never existed or have never existed in other formats, right? Even if they're incredibly powerful, things like Inverter, Thassa's Oracle are just so cool because that was never a thing in any other format, and then, you know, here it is. So I think Pioneer's done a really cool job bringing some neat new ways to play Magic to the forefront. And yes, of course, like any new format, there's going to be stuff that's too strong. We're going to have to go through the ban cycles and so on. But it's been really fun to watch it evolve, especially because it is the only format, the only Eternal format, that has had the luxury of being able to start with everything legal pretty much and then banning things by online play, which I thought was very cool, right? Modern, we was kind of had the gas pressed on it because we wanted to get it ready for the Pro Tour Philadelphia. And so we just had to ban a bunch of cards at the outset. And many of those cards have still, to this day, never been tried in the format. So players can argue, well, Umezawa's Jitte should be legal in Modern because, like, you know, we never got the chance to play. We should unban it, whatever. Well, with Pioneer, we really did start with only the fetch lands ban to kind of be like, this is the cornerstone of the format. And then people played on Magic Online to determine how it was going to be crafted from there. And I thought that was so cool as a way to truly organically grow the format. I think it was Sam Black who said something like, you're winning in Pioneer, not if you win matches, but if you get cards in your decks banned, right? When you're playing on Magic Online, which I thought was so cool. So it was really fun to watch the format evolve that way. And it's just been a blast to see the whole thing come into light over the past, you know, year and year and a half or so.
As old Frontier players, we definitely could have told you what cards were going to get banned right away. Right, Kevin?
Well, I mean, something like the Leyline of Abundance completely over our head, obviously, without knowing that how it interacted with things like Nykthos.
Yeah.
I am just want to say, like, really glad you brought up Overextended. Was going to make sure to bring that up. Yeah, I'm kind of the history buff when we come to a lot of things we talk about on the podcast. So I definitely did see the same parallels there of, you know, kind of that forming of Modern mostly from kind of a fan created thing. And then we got the same kind of thing. You know, Frontier was not very popular and then turned into Pioneer and was really just took off full force and has been fantastic, in my opinion.
I kind of wanted to ask, though, did you have any hand in kind of promoting Pioneer? Like, how did that whole process come about? I don't think this was part of, like, the questions that, you know, I prepared for this podcast, but on the fly here, if you don't mind answering, how did the creation of Pioneer happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to Pioneer, we'd known for a long, like, even when we created Modern, and you know, we brought Modern to existence, we knew at some point we would need another stopgap format, because at some point Modern grows too large. And then, you know, its original purpose of helping players, like, play with their older cards, well, Modern gets too big, it gets too powerful, that stops being true. And, you know, the number of sets that have been put into Modern is tremendous. The format has changed a lot, and every new set stops adding as great of an impact to the Modern format. So mm-hmm. we knew eventually there would need to be something in that spot. It was just a matter of when. And it finally felt like the time was kind of right. Like, we were watching Modern, and it was not being significantly changed by most sets, and the power level was extremely high, and it was no longer a place to take, like, your old favorite standard cards to go play with, and it was really like, okay, well, yep. there's these handful of cards in really old sets that are the ones that are causing the greatest impact. So we knew that we needed to do something different there, and so it was a matter of time. Now, the person who headed up Pioneer, I mean, there were a few people. The main person who did a lot of work on Pioneer was a guy named Max McCall, and then some others who worked with him on, I think Mark Hagen, a few other there. And then those folks worked closely with our play design team. So something that with Modern, as you may or may not remember, is that the Modern's cutoff was the new card frame, the card frame that began with Mirrodin. And that was kind of just like, at the time, they were like, well, we could have gone with a bunch of different ones. We just chose this one because it seemed like it made a lot of sense, like, holistically. And I mean, it kind of worked, but also kind of not, because, like, you know, what about reprinted cards? What about cards from Commander decks, right? Quickly, it becomes like, oh, it's not really useful to know if a card's in a new frame or not, if it's legal in this format. You kind of just have to know that it's 8th edition forward. And so this time around with Pioneer, what we really wanted to do was just ask our play design team, who, you know, crafts the health of our formats, what do you think the right starting point is? Can you just test building decks in a bunch of different starting points and come back with what you think the correct one is? And so the play design team actually went and investigated a number of different starting points, right? They looked at Cons of Tarkir and M15 for, like, the card frame switchover. They looked at original Ravnica as one. They, you know, a lot of different things were discussed. Return to Ravnica, which is what yeah. we went over. They looked at a number of different places, and they looked at much newer Magic Origins. Was one that was looked at as well. But eventually, like, after looking at it for a while, they're like, we think Return to Ravnica is the right place to do this. We think it gives us the right range of cards. It'll make it feel like there's lots of power going on here, but without, still allowing the new cards to make an impact in the format. And that's what was determined. So there were a lot of different discussions about what to do. And that's where it ended up. The banning of the fetch lands was basically known from the outset. That's what was going to differentiate this format from other formats. And so that was kind of baked into it as well. But that's kind of how the whole thing came into being. And, you know, look, at some point, 10 years from now, we'll probably do something that is between Pioneer and Standard, because at some point these things are just going to keep growing. Can't say that for sure, of course, but based on our philosophy of how we got here, that's the thing that we'll take a look at. And we'll see how Pioneer does, right? I mean, initially, we saw so much excitement around Pioneer that it was like, wow, this is a no-brainer. And then, you know, unfortunately, this year, there have not been able to be in-person tournaments, which has damaged that a little bit. But I'm hopeful that at some point we get back to full-blown Pioneer events, and that goes a long way.
Kevin, anything you wanted to ask about the beginning of Pioneer?
No, I was ready to jump into another topic, but I mean, you know, this is awesome to hear. I'd love to hear that a lot of the, you know, the exact kind of things that we think about and we often compliment when we're talking about Pioneer are exactly what you guys are thinking about. And, you know, I've always been saying on the podcast, like, oh, you know, it's great that they're doing this design. It's great that they're doing this design. So it's nice to see that it's not just, you know, it's being planned out there. There's some really smart guys working at Wizards, and they're doing a good job with this, so... I mean, I just get to play the Pioneer format and love it, so that's fantastic.
And I do think it's worth saying, too, given, you know, the origin of this podcast, that when the play design was working on Pioneer, they looked at Frontier for decklist and inspiration. So they, like, directly looked at the results coming out of places like Haruya in Japan and all, you know, all online play of Frontier, while we were working on Pioneer. So that was very much in their mind. So I think that's, you know, that format did a good work helping bring this one into existence.
There it is. I know some Frontier people that are going to be pretty validated by that, yeah. I think. Especially over by you, Ryan.
What'd you say?
Especially over by you.
Oh, yeah. The Frontier people here. This is like the only place that was still surviving. So when mm-hmm. you know, they announced Pioneer, everyone was just ecstatic. And like actually the guys that were the Frontier kings and gods of Hallelujah are now like top in Pioneer in Hallelujah in Tokyo as well, you know, because they had that knowledge, you know, of how the format was going to work, you know, before it even happened. So one more thing that I just wanted to comment on real quick. You were saying that in Modern, there was less and less impact from the new sets. I totally agree that in the current Pioneer format, the new standard sets see a lot of play in Pioneer, and I think that's just great. I like being able to see like new decks like Oops All Spells kind of happen every, you know, season, you know, and hopefully that will continue for the next, you know, few years at least.
Yeah, I mean, definitely one of our goals of Pioneer was to do that, right? Was to make sure that your standard cards had a place to go live. And it's not saying that every standard card is going to show up in Pioneer, but you know, if you had a favorite deck in Pioneer or in Standard and you want to bring it to Pioneer, you can probably grab some of the best standard cards from that deck and a bunch of cool cards in Pioneer and bring it in. And then also cards in Standard will enable new strategies within Pioneer too. I mean, once again, I'll go back to Inverter Thassa's Oracle as one that's like, wow, this brand new card from Theros really impacted this set. Or same for Underworld Breach, although that card had it's a powerful magic card, but you know, it still enabled some interesting stuff to happen in Pioneer. So
yeah, and if I were to segue and kind of build off of that, I think that it's more than it's just that the cards are individually seeing play. You know, we've got things like Skyclave Apparition seeing play in Modern, but it's more that the mechanics that are coming from these new sets and the, you know, the way that the cards work together, the synergies are actually seeing play in Pioneer, whereas in Modern it's, okay, this card is the high enough power level to make it there, but we don't care as much about the fact that you've got, you know, an Elves deck or a... escape deck, something like that, where it's the actual mechanic and the things that work with it. So we get to see those kind of go in whole into Pioneer and then build off of them. And that's really what, you know, having you on the show, I was most excited to ask about is just, you know, that's, I think, what I admire most about Pioneer is the way that you get to see all these different mechanics from the small sets. You get to see kind of the designer's vision for, hey, I want this synergy, this synergy, this synergy, win standard. And then you get to build it into a slightly larger card pool where you get to put in, you know, I get the zombies from this set and I get the whatever else from whatever other set and kind of put them together. So looking at mechanics in Pioneer, are there any that you're really excited to see play or that you'd like to see play in the future that aren't right now?
You know, one of the things,
and maybe it's a broad question.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a toughie for me because it's like, you know, look at all the mechanics in Pioneer and I think any individual mechanic has a sense. For me, I think a lot about like themes. Like mechanics can show up here and there, and it's like, wow, a landfall card showed up in this deck. You know, whatever. That's kind of cool. But I think the themes as being like the coolest part when like a standard theme combines itself with Pioneer themes to make itself known. So it could be really cool if just, you know, as an example, if like a tribal deck showed up that used a lot of different tribal cards from a lot of different sets, right? Like imagine if there was a Vampires deck that used stuff from various core sets and Ixalan and, you know, other things as one example, right? And so finding those, like, that's what gets me the most jazzed, is finding those things that have never been good enough for Modern or other formats that are really only good in competitive one-on-one play, but that are only really made it possible because of multiple years bridging the gaps. I always think of, like, old Spirits decks, like when the... in the early days of Modern, there was this like, still not great, but like, you know, pretty fun to play
Black
Spirits
White.
Deck that used like, spirits from like Kamigawa all the way through Innistrad, like all kinds of cool stuff spanning years. And that's what gets me the most jazzed. So I would love to continue to see stuff like that show up. So Tribal's an obvious one, but there are other ways you can do it too, right? Like graveyard strategies that utilize multiple graveyard mechanics and things like that.
Oh, so you're updating my lingo here. So I think that's exactly what I was talking about, and you just have a better way to put it. I don't think that mechanic was the right word, but yeah, those designs.
Those themes.
That's probably the better way to put it. Yeah, those schemes, those themes.
Yeah.
Bridging the gap, jazzed. I'm going to use all of those.
So
we used high-tech words here at Wizards of the Coast, like jazzed, to describe things. You know, really only the peak of lingo for our game.
Do you do the jazz hand thing when you say that?
I'm doing it right now. You just can't see me, so you just have to imagine it every single time.
So if you don't mind me asking my next question here. So I kind of wanted to start it off with this question, but, Kevin kind of jumped ahead of me. What has your experience been with Pioneer so far? You know, you've talked about design, but have you played it at all? Like, have you tried out any decks, anything like that? Like, overall, what's your overall experience?
Yeah, I played it a lot at the outset of Pioneer. Like, when it first came into existence, when it was, you know, on Magic Online, that kind of stuff, I played it a bunch. I'm the kind of person, when it comes to like competitive constructed Magic, I like playing competitive constructed Magic in person a lot. But normally if I'm at home, I'll play Limited, you know, because I'll do cube drafts online or, you know, Commander these days over Spell Table. So unfortunately, without in-person events to go to, I haven't played as much Pioneer this year as I would have liked to. But in an alternate universe, I could see myself playing a lot of Pioneer and keeping up with the format quite a bit. But I haven't played it a ton since the original inception of it. I've stayed aware of it and abreast of what's going on, of course. But right now, just, you know, as one who likes playing constructed competitive Magic in person, in the U.S., I don't have a great opportunity to do that.
Not yet, yeah. I was going to also, you said you played it a little bit, and I know you've probably played Legacy and you played Modern. How would you compare it, you know, as far as, like, play style or, the approach, I guess you could say, to it compared to the other Eternal formats?
Yeah, I mean, Legacy is very much, you're, like, nearly no-holds-barred battling. You know, you've got everything from Magic history in there with a few bans, and you'll find Storm and Dredge and, you know, all the best aggro decks in the world, all that kind of stuff. So, like, I think of Legacy as more or less, like, within what is in the bounds of reasonable Magic, no-holds-barred. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Modern, and Modern is a notch down, but still, you know, you still have combo decks that can kill you turn 4 and 5. You still have really great aggressive decks. But I think most of all, for me, the thing that sets those two formats apart, and especially in Modern, is that Fetchland, Shockland mana base of, like, you can play whatever you want, no challenges. And so when we were making Pioneer, to me, what really sets Pioneer apart is the not having fetch lands. Like, that makes decks not just be as soupy as a lot of the Modern decks and Legacy decks are, and it allows archetypes to thrive. They might never be able to thrive when you're like, well, I can just, what thread am I going to play? Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to play green and play Tarmogoyf again because it's literally free to do so. And to me, that's what really sets Pioneer apart and part of why we kick those cards out at the outset. It is a much less powerful format than Modern because it is just a smaller card pool. But you do still get those fun sideways combo decks. You do still get good aggro and control decks. So I think it's a fairly well-rounded format in terms of what you have access to. And it's just a matter of seeing, you know, how the decks get built and evolve over time. But the lack of fetch lands, to me, really gives the format some good identity.
Yeah. I was also going to say it's also a place where jank can shine. I mean, you can play some jank. Like, I remember when the Possibility Storm deck came out, and you retweeted that, you know, from me, I believe, to show, like, this crazy deck that people are playing over in Japan. And I feel like that type of deck could never work in Modern or, you know, in Legacy or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, the smaller the card pool is, the more opportunity there is for jank to thrive, right? Because you just have fewer strong things putting pressure time-wise on your format, fewer strong disruptive answers, and so on. So Pioneer is a great kind of mixing melting pot of lots of cards, but not so many that it's as oppressive on the janky decks. I mean, you can play jank in Modern, but you might just die to combo really fast, right? Where in Pioneer, you have a little bit more time to set up. You still have downward pressure on you, but there's enough cards in the card pool that you can find those combos throughout history to use.
Yeah. Next topic, if that's okay. Kevin, I don't know if you want to ask a question or should I just continue and you add, like, your 2 cents?
Yeah, you're doing great. I don't need to clarify anything, so I'll let you keep going.
Jump in whenever you want. All right, so my next question I wanted to ask, I was looking online at all of the sets that you've worked on that were Pioneer legal, And, you know, I think there was a Kaladesh, I believe, and I can't remember the other ones right now. There's like 5 or 6 sets, I believe, that you worked on, correct? In that are Pioneer legal?
The Innistrad.
Yeah, I mean, and working Innistrad on is you know, it's tricky to quantify because every set in Pioneer I probably touched to some degree, whether it's contributing a card or giving feedback to being full on the team. But when it comes to actually being on the design team and, like, you know, being a tour de force of designing cards and iterating, yeah, I would guess there's probably 6-ish in there somewhere. What, there's going to be Kaladesh and Aether Revolt, Amonkhet, Fate Reforged, Gatecrash. I don't know. I'd have to go back and
yeah. So
Shadows over Innistrad. I mean, I could look at my list, but I mean, Shadows over Innistrad. There's a bunch in there.
So there are. So basically, I was trying to get at. You know, you worked on a couple of these Pioneer legal sets, and I was wondering at any time. When you're working on these teams or, you know, kind of like being the executive producer of sorts, did you even consider making these cards for like a future non-rotating format like Pioneer?
It's the conversation definitely comes up. You know, like, we knew for a long time someday we would have to make this format. But making things for that format or not for that format before you even know what it's going to look like is kind of a fool's errand, because it's like, hey, make sure, like, make a card for this format that's not going to exist for 4 years, and you don't even know what the starting point for that set is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be too big of a challenge. What we can do is we can, you know, make cards we think are fun for modern or fun for eternal formats, and we can make cards that are fun for standard. And at some point, we know that Pioneer is going to encompass this card, or we think that it's likely Pioneer will encompass this card, and then it'll have the coolest bits from standard and some fun modern shots as well. So the way you kind of get good cards for Pioneer before you know that Pioneer is going to fully be a thing and when it's going to be a thing is just making cards that you think will have a shot in both Standard and Pioneer and be fun to have around Magic long term. So I wouldn't say it drastically impacted our process, really. We talked about it, you know, especially when it comes to land cycles. That's often a big one because the mana bases for this format were going to be important. But on the whole, I would say that Pioneer did not have a significant impact in our design before we decided we were going to pull the trigger on Pioneer. Then we started thinking about it a lot more.
So is it kind of like you designed stuff for modern, with modern in mind, but maybe a little bit less powerful, so it wouldn't, like, take over, you know, wouldn't be like a better Thoughtseize or, you know, a better, you know, Tarmogoyf or something like that?
Yeah, with modern, you know, if we design a card for modern or eternal formats in general, a lot of the time, first of all, we're trying to design answers. And the reason why is it is difficult for the answers to be what causes problems when you put them into an eternal format, because the threats are so good. Where traditionally when we design threats for eternal formats or they go into eternal formats, they end up causing challenges. You know, like Abrupt Decay is an awesome eternal card to me because it is like, well, it's going to kill something that costs 3 or less. That's going to be way better in eternal formats than in standard formats. But it's never going to be a problem because, like, you know, 2-mana kill a thing. There's only so good that can be. Same for Assassin's Trophy. Where a card like True Name Nemesis, when that card is too good, is very frustrating. So, you know, there's a careful line to draw there. But in general, like, we try and focus on the answers more than the threats when making cards for eternal formats. And then when we do make the threats, we try and make them more sideways things that will be interesting if they're good, but are not going to just, like, replace Tarmogoyf or whatever. You know, if we're replacing Tarmogoyf, we have done something probably horribly wrong in modern.
So the follow-up that I would see to that question is that now that we do have Pioneer in a structured place, in a place where it's doing, you know, it's thriving, is it fair to say that we should be able to expect a little bit more of that thoughts going to go into, we need this answer for Pioneer? Or, you know, I'm sure somebody's sitting there saying, you know, like, this is the problem with Pioneer. What can we do to, are we hopefully going to see some of that in the future, or is that expected?
Yeah, absolutely. Now that we know what Pioneer is and that it exists, we have information from it, now we can absolutely incorporate Pioneer into our design. Now, it is worth saying, of course, that the focus of our design is always standard and limited, because those are just the most played non-commander formats, and commander, right, when it's appropriate to focus on commander. But otherwise, it's standard and limited, because those are the two most played formats, the ones that these sets are going to have the highest impact on. Like, in a limited format, how well you work on the set is literally 100% of the impact, and in standard, it's a pretty significant part of the impact. So those two things will always get the highest priority. But then after that, like, when we're thinking about modern, Pioneer, Legacy, like, Pioneer is very much in the conversation. And, you know, when we talk about the tools we can give a format, Pioneer is one of the formats that is mentioned for sure. We don't design things for a format that often, an internal format, so much as we're like, well, we think this card might have a life in this format, and we think it'll be good in that format. It's a lot more often that it's like, we design a card, it ends up being good in that format, so we leave it in, as opposed to we design a card specifically for that format. But it does happen sometimes, and regardless, Pioneer is certainly part of our conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I always see, like, you know, some of these cards and some of these new sets, and I'm like, the 7-mana enchantment? That's definitely an EDH card. Or, you know, like, some common card that has, like, you know, a really good, you know, it's got, like, cycling or something. I'm like, oh, that's going to be a great popper card. But it's a little bit harder to kind of see, you know, this is going to be a good Pioneer card, I think. It's harder to break that, how can I say, that to figure out if it's just, you know, the power creep or if it's actually for Pioneer. Anyways, you were talking about Limited, and I kind of wanted to jump into my next question, which I've been trying to do for a while on this podcast, and Kevin just kind of said, you know, we never really had a good guest for it, and that would be a Pioneer Chaos draft. And basically, from all the sets from N14 to the most current set, Zendikar Rising, which sets do you think would be fun to draft together? Like, what kind of mechanics do you think would combo well? What would have good synergies, etc.? What kind of cards would you like to, or sorry, what sets would you like to play together?
Yeah, well, I first of all, I love Chaos Drafts. It's one of my favorite formats, and what inspired Mystery Booster, which is a project that I worked on. And so Chaos Draft is very near and dear to my heart. I have a lot of thoughts about Chaos Draft. And the thing that I always find very successful is when you take, and this goes back a little bit to what I was saying earlier, which is where you, when you take sets that have similar themes but have never been drafted together and play them together, I think you find a lot of really cool stuff. So, like, for example, you can draft a bunch of gold sets together and do a Chaos draft that is, hey, we've got Ravnica, we've got Tarkir, you know, let's smash all those together and draft them all, and you're going to have really great mana fixing, and you're going to be able to cast your three color cards, that kind of stuff. I think you could do it with artifact themes. I think you could do it with graveyard themes. Like, I bet you could do a pretty great, like, Amonkhet, Innistrad, or Amonkhet Shadows over Innistrad style thing. Maybe with, like, Theros Beyond Death mixed in there. So I would look at set themes and find places where they overlap in really interesting ways. And I think you could find some cool stuff to do. Personally, I'll say that I also just enjoy literal Chaos Draft, which is there are no themes, just grab a pack from the set and let's go. And that's always very fun, too. But if you're looking to find those synergies, I think that that is where Chaos Draft can be really fun. And I would look for, like mechanical sets. And I think you can do a lot of cool stuff there.
I mean, I've always wanted to do, like, old Ravnica block, you know, Return the Ravnica block and the new stuff. Or, like you said, like Kaladesh with Dominaria with, like, the historic thing. It just seems like it'd be crazy.
Yeah, I got the pleasure of doing full Ravnica sealed, where we got a pack from every Ravnica set, and that was really, really cool. That was totally awesome. That my last year, my friends and I ran an event where that it was full Ravnica, and that was really cool to see. And plus, like, all the Ravnica guild mechanics tend to work out well together, right? Like Simic stuff, keys off +1/+1 counters, and so on and so forth. So yeah, there's a lot of fun to be had there.
6 packs or 9 packs? Was it all the way back to, like, the original with, like, Dissension and Ravnica?
Oh yeah.
Or was
it? It was 8 packs. We did not include War of the Spark because it's not really a, I mean, it's on Ravnica, but it's not like really a Ravnica set, you know? But we used all the other Ravnicas.
See, I'm excited. I want to do Chaos. That's, like, one of the things I want to do, you know, after the pandemic. I want to get my friends together, and I just want to do all these crazy drafts.
Yeah, for sure. Number like, I've had a blast with Chaos draft so much. Mystery Booster, if you haven't had the chance to play it, is one of my favorite formats, and that really will scratch your Chaos Drafting itch. And it was, you know, while we're in the pandemic, it was on Magic Online for a while. I think it got taken down for the moment, but it'll be back up at some point, I'm sure, and worth giving a try to.
Ooh, that's exciting to hear.
So kind of also in the same vein as this, my next question I wanted to ask about Pioneer Cubing. So you said you kind of like cubing with friends online and stuff like that. And I'm guessing when there's no pandemic, you also enjoy cubing with friends. If you were going to build a Pioneer cube, like, what kind of cards or archetypes would you like to include? Like, what cards do you really like from this format that you definitely would want to play with?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think a Pioneer Cube sounds really fun. It sounds like a really neat power level for a cube. My friend Natalie actually built a Modern Cube all the way back many years ago, close to when Modern came out. And then she's played it a ton. I've played it a ton. It's one of my favorite cubes to play. And at one point, her cube became so well known that she actually created the Magic Online Modern Cube. So anyway, having played a restricted format cube, I think there's a lot of fun to be had there. And with Pioneer, absolutely, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do. When building a cube, I think what is most successful, in my opinion, is instead of trying to like seed really heavy specific archetypes, like trying to be like, okay, well, you're going to be able to draft the, the
Inverter combo, if it was legal, or...
Yeah, I mean, you know,
yeah, goblin tokens.
Or... Yeah, you name the like a tokens archetype or whatever. Instead of like seeding very specific cards for that archetype, I find what works really well is just like look through the sets in Pioneer, find all the best cards, see how that fills out your cube, because you're gonna want all those in there to really create that Pioneer feel, and then from there, you can look at maybe you know and fill the holes with some archetype specific cards. But often when you put archetype cards in your cube, they just float around and nobody takes them because they only go to a very specific drafter. Or you get these cards that are like 0 or 60, where it's like they're really bad most of the time, but every now and then someone will like just draft the nut tokens deck or whatever, and they have their intangible virtue or whatever the card is, and it crushes everyone. I usually find that if you just include like all the strongest cards, you'll end up with some really cool archetypes that naturally develop out of that. And like if Inverter and Thassa's Oracle were legal, I might include them. Like some people like Splinter Twin, Pestermite, and Modern Cube or whatever. But you know, in general, I would just try and put all the best cards and see how that fills out your cube. And, you know, look at mana cost, right? You'll want to curve your cube out as well to make sure that you're hitting stuff at every mana cost. And I think there's a lot of fun to be had there, especially with like a really tight 360 cube, 360 card cube. That sounds like a lot of fun. If you made a Pioneer cube, I would absolutely give it a try. That sounds neat.
So like a build around, basically. A build around cube. Like you said, you get those bombs and then you have cards that people can use to build a deck around.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, traditionally with Cube, if you just put a bunch of strong cards in a box and you have people draft it, you'll end up with really cool divergent styles of gameplay. You'll end up with archetypes, you'll end up with aggro and control and probably combo in there somewhere as well. Because there's a lot of strong cards through Pioneer history, and, you know, that's where I would start, and you'll end up with all the decks under the sun, and it sounds pretty fun to me.
So three cards that you would include in this deck, then, or sorry, in this Cube.
Oh my gosh.
What would you like to build around?
Wow. Well, I mean, I would you know, immediately start with a pillar of control and then a pillar of aggro. What if
Teferi? Geez.
I mean, yeah, you could pick a Teferi. I mean, there's so many cards. You asked me what three cards to put in a cube and like a million cards rush into my head. But yeah, I mean, you could easily say the blue-white Teferi, or I guess that's not very useful. You can easily say the 5-mana blue-white Teferi as your option.
Hero of Dominaria, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Hero of Dominaria. You know, if you're going to go for an aggro-style strategy, you could pick... you could pick any number of cards. I think you could also pick something that's a little more off-kilter, like Inventor's Apprentice, to have like an artifact aggro deck in there a little bit too, you know. But of course, like Siege Rhino is a card I'd put in this cube.
Yep. Rabble Master.
Yeah, you could put the Rabble Master in there. I mean, I think I probably would put in, just to start off with. It depends on if you're gonna allow banned cards in or not. Like with Natalie's Modern Cube, she allows for modern banned cards. So you could talk about putting Inverter Oracle in here. I would put like Llinawar Elves in, of course. Like you want all your ramp stuff. You know, you're gonna have a healthy dose of planeswalkers because planeswalkers are such a cornerstone of modern design. So you're gonna have quite a few planeswalkers in here from across history. I always like putting it in the 3-color Sarkhan. That's like a really fun card if you could get to cast it. You're gonna want mana fixing. You're gonna want enough mana rocks now. So a lot of the 2-mana rocks that exist in the format, which are not many, I think would go in here. And then you'd get like your Chromatic Lanterns.
Yeah.
Of the world. I don't know, like with a cube, you just start, like I said, I would just comb every set that's legal in Pioneer. I would grab all the strongest cards that showed up in the Pioneer format or in Standard. I would plop them in, see how my format looks, and then cut it down from there.
I know, Kevin, you're more of a competitive guy, but
I'm itching over here. I don't want to add too much because I think that me and you could probably spend a 2-hour episode talking about this.
What would you add?
I mean, I think I had shipped you my Frontier Cube at one point when we had one of those. You know, when you just said three cards, I think what came to mind are like Torrential Gearhulk, Glorybringer, if I'm thinking red. And I was almost thinking like Sorin, the three mana one that has the vampire theme, just to get a little bit of a theme in there. But I do like the idea of not going too hard on themes first and going first on just the powerful cards. And I think me and you, we're going to have to circle back to this and spend maybe a couple hours, maybe get a guest on and talk about Cube. I've been itching to.
If you
to
can recommend cubing. Any good Cube people for our podcast that would like to come on, let us know, Gavin.
Oh, I absolutely can. I mean, there's an amazing Cube community out there you could talk with. You know, you could talk with Usman, you could talk with Eric Klug, and I'm not just going to list off all of the Cube April, of course. I mean, I'm not going to list them all off. There's tons of people you can talk to, but there's lots of cards. And the thing about Cube is ultimately it's, you know, whatever experience you want it to be. But a Pioneer Cube sounds super fun. When you get one together, let me know. I would love to participate in a Pioneer Cube
journey. Maybe next time you visit Japan, I'll have it ready.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, between aggro and control and a little bit of combo and mid-range, like the format has it all, right? You can go from quick burn decks with Boros Charm all the way through your control decks with Hero of Dominaria, so lots of cool stuff.
I'm actually working on an Innistrad Black Cube at the moment, so you can get all the vampire and spirits and werewolf synergies and stuff like that. I was gonna try to finish it for Halloween, but I couldn't finish it in time.
That's super fun. I know Eric Klug had this cube that was like humans versus zombies. I don't remember exactly how it worked, but you kind of picked a side, and it was pretty fun.
All right. Next question. Is that all right? Anything else, Kevin? Are you good?
No, yeah, go ahead. We're definitely going to circle back to this another time.
So I want to talk a little bit more about designing. I know we got you on. We've talked about design a lot already, but, I might as well... milk it for all it's worth. So I remember originally I wanted to have you come on and kind of talk about historic, and that was like a year ago or like more than a year ago, and we were talking about maybe like a Historic Horizons deck or something, like what would we add, for this type of thing. So I want to change that to designing a Pioneer Master set in the future, and kind of like what they did with Modern Horizons, adding these cards that were legal for Modern, but they never really were printed in any other set. What kind of Pioneer, when we talked about mechanics already, like what kind of Pioneer mechanics would you like to design new cards for in the future?
Yeah, well, I mean, if we were doing like so you're asking basically if we were doing a Pioneer Horizons, what would we want to put in there?
Yeah, if you're doing,
and that's a good hypothetical way to put it. We're not saying, hey, tell us what you plan on for the future. We're just saying, this hypothetical. What are some of the mechanics in Pioneer that you'd love to see more of?
Like perhaps. Raid or energy. Yeah, something to fill out kind of like these. We had a lot of one and two set planes that really didn't get a lot of fleshing out afterwards. But maybe they could use a little bit more support in the future. Which mechanics would you like to see get more support for in the future?
Well, yeah, so for sure. With Modern Horizons, something we did that was pretty successful was we looked at archetypes players liked but didn't have enough support to be quite good enough, and archetypes that could be really cool across sets that didn't quite have enough support to be good enough. And we, filled in some of those holes there. I think of Spirits as a great example with Modern. And I think that same deck applies well to Pioneer. Like, there is a Spirits deck in Pioneer, but it's not like it's played a little bit. Shows people like playing Spirits. But I think we could do a little bit more to buff that up. I think a lot of the tribal, right? Like the Ixalan tribes, for example, do not have enough love necessarily. Vampires probably get there, but there's not like a Pirates deck or anything. I think it could be really fun to go back to some of those and see what you can make work. Merfolk, of course, is like a classic aggro control strategy that players love. What can we do with more Merfolk to help those out? So a lot of the tribes, once again, I just go back to as things that players always like playing, but often there isn't quite the support for them. And if we were making a Pioneer Horizons, that's the thing I would definitely expect we would play into. There's also
more tribal stuff.
Yeah, tribal for sure. Also, have you played the various auras decks in Pioneer much? I think those are pretty fun. like the Orzhov, the mm-hmm. the two color Auras deck.
Yeah,
like
there's that, the black white and also the green white one is also kind of popular now.
Yeah, and I think both of those are decks that could be blown out a little bit more. There's some fun to be had there, especially when you're like auraing your creatures up but not using hexproof, so it's like it's more interactable.
It's kind of like the boggles of Pioneer, you could say.
Yeah, yeah. Those are a few things that pop into mind, but you know, really, I think we would just take a deep dive, look at the format and the stuff that isn't quite good enough players are playing anyway. Because if people are playing a deck that isn't winning, it's a pretty good sign that that deck is fun enough that we could support it more. So that's probably where we'd start looking.
Two words for you. Waste not. That's my pet deck. I want to see more cards for it.
I mean, I think I
always have to caution our
caution
some of our guests that Ryan will always like to bring up one or two jank decks.
Yeah. I remember the that artifacts deck, right? The blue red like scissors deck. That could be a really cool one to give some extra support to. I'm sure there's some cycling deck you could play that would be really fun.
Yeah.
With multiple sets of cycling cards. There's a lot of stuff there.
I mean, there's enough graveyard hate that, you know, people could nerf it, but, you know, wouldn't be bad to combo out, you know, cycle. What was the other? Oh, you mean the 6-mana blue enchantment one, right? The
New Perspectives. I don't think that's what anybody's talking about. Oh, I know me and you try and brew that all the time, okay. Right?
The free cycling the rest of the game. Yeah, combo out. Anyway, sorry about that. Went off on a tangent. Okay, next question. I wanted to ask, you said you played a little bit of Pioneer at the start. You don't really play a lot now, but would you say you have a favorite Pioneer deck? Is there something that you've seen online, like a deck list? You're like, oh, that'd be fun to play. Or if we did start to have paper Pioneer events in the future, what kind of deck would you take to that event?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of two decks that come to mind for me of the current meta. One is, just because I love the card Bring to Light, is the Niv to Light deck. That deck looks like so much fun to play. So, you know, you get a nice little toolbox engine rolling. So that one sounds pretty fun. And then, I know it's kind of a boring answer probably, but I do like the Wilderness Reclamation deck. It just looks really strong. You get access to double your mana. Yeah, it's hard to say no to those two archetypes, even though I know they're both probably played quite a bit, but those are two decks that attract me as someone who likes playing these kind of toolbox decks or likes playing, you know, these mid-rangey control decks.
Well, we have two people we could introduce you to, Claudio and Martin. They're like the top level players for Sol Tyrek and Niv-Mizzet and MTGO right now. So,
that's great. And I don't think that's anything you have to apologize for as far as them being highly played. You know, if you're a modern player and you're like, oh, hey, yeah, if you're going over to Pioneer, you're going to be playing a whole ton of Wilderness Reclamation and Bring to Light. Those probably sound like something pretty new to them.
The other thing that interests me is, of course, I'm a huge blue-white control player, so like Esper Control could be something I would play with. But right now, I mean, I personally feel like the control decks are a little outclassed by the Reclamation decks. So at some point, I could see myself jamming that, though.
There's just so many good pile decks. There's so many good value decks out there. And it, you know, it just runs out of counter spells or ways to win, basically. You can only board wipe so many times, and then you lose. Okay, next question. This is kind of more of a Magic Arena type question. The Magic Arena has the Historic Brawl, I believe they started to do, and of course they had like the regular Brawl that they did for Standard. Now, if there was a Pioneer Brawl, you know, I believe they're talking about releasing a Pioneer Masters set on Arena next year. That's which right. Means the possibility of a Pioneer Brawl set. If there was a Pioneer Brawl format, what would be your commander and how would you build your deck?
Yeah, well, Pioneer Brawl, first of all, is going to look nearly identical to Historic Brawl. Not one-to-one, because like things like Jumpstart aren't legal in Pioneer.
Yeah.
But it would be very, 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 very close. Close to Pioneer. I mean, traditionally in Historic Brawl, the strongest cards as commanders have been either completely broken creatures that generate a ton of value, like Winota, who I think is banned now, and Planeswalkers, because in one-on-one, a Planeswalker you can cast for the rest of the game is really good, and basically if you don't kill it right away, the game is over. So Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, is the super obvious one to me. you just like you play it, and if it doesn't die immediately, the game is just over because you're just going to go up a card every turn for the rest of the game. You can always have it in your hand to protect itself. So to me, that is like the first place I would go. And then I would consider the other planeswalkers as well. That's where I would be at. That's my starting point, I think, for Pioneer Brawl, which is not, like I said, too dissimilar from my starting point for Historic Brawl.
Well, that brings up another good point. You know, you're saying it's not going to be too different from Historic. Now, I know they have Jumpstart, and they have, like, the anthologies that, you know, not all those cards are legal in Pioneer, or they won't be legal in Pioneer. I'm guessing they're going to keep releasing more anthologies and maybe other kind of supplemental sets on Arena. Do you think that the Historic and Pioneer set will look totally different in, like, a year's time?
I think a lot of our focus right now is getting stuff that Pioneer needs on Arena when it comes to releasing older content. For mm-hmm. example, why we announced mm-hmm. doing Pioneer Masters. Yeah. And so I'm sure that, I mean, I don't work on the Arena team, first of all, so I don't know their upcoming plans for sure. But I would say that I think, you know, you'll still see some amount of anthology style stuff. But even then, I expect a lot of the anthology stuff to be things that might be interesting for Pioneer. And then, continue to put Pioneer cards on to bring us closer to being able to actually play Pioneer on Arena. And all of those cards that will show up in Pioneer will, of course, be in Historic. So that's why it becomes that kind of one-to-one analogous pretty closely, I think. Once again, Jumpstart isn't legal, so it is a little bit different, but it's similar.
So I have another hypothetical, and I apologize. This wasn't really on the list of questions. You don't have to answer this if you don't want to. Is Historic kind of like a testing ground of sorts for being able to reprint in, you know, maybe like Standard, or maybe even, you know, have it in Pioneer in the future? You know, like, you know, putting a card like, was it Phyrexian, what's it called? Obliterator, you know, into Historic, you know, to kind of see if it would be too powerful for, you know, another format. Would you say that it's a possibility? Maybe that's too direct. I mean, could we possibly see Historic cards be reprinted in a future set, or, you know, maybe like Pioneer Horizon set?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think whenever we do anything, we try and learn from it and implement it in the future in the right ways. And so with Historic, while I don't know that we're necessarily putting cards into Historic to like test them for Pioneer or Standard or anything like that, if we put something into Historic and it does some pretty fun stuff, well then, hey, that tells us that it could be a good reprint down the line for Standard, or it could be, you know, a card that goes into Pioneer in some other way. So we're always watching and paying attention to it, for sure. I wouldn't say that putting the anthologies on Magic on Arena is intended to be a testing ground for these formats, but it doesn't hurt that it gives us data for it.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that. And, you know, I'd be more than happy to get, you know, like a functional reprint of stuff like, I don't know, Swords of Plowshares or, you know, Path to Exile, even if it's not the actual thing itself. Moving on to the next question. I think I asked you, I mean, I sent these questions ahead of time. I asked you what, I wanted to ask you what you think are like the top 10 Pioneer cards from a designer's perspective. Like, what kind of things just add a lot to the format, you know, not so much that everybody jams them into, like, you know, all their decks, but what kind of cards do you think just kind of, you know, lead to, you know, more brewing or, you know, more possibilities?
And I think it doesn't have to be a top 10 strictly.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind
five
of,
is fine.
I know we're putting you in the hot seat here.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I love Waste Not. I think Waste Not just adds so much, you know, possibility to building like some kind of discard or some kind of controlled deck. So is there anything else like that that, you know, you think kind of adds a lot to the format?
Well, yeah, it's interesting because it depends on how you're asking the question. Because to me, when I think about what adds a lot to the format, I think about like the cornerstone cards that define the format. So for me, that's going to be like Fatal Push, mm-hmm. Thoughtseize, Abrupt Decay, Supreme Verdict, Llanowar mm-hmm. Elves. And Elvish Mystic, I guess, right? To me, those are things that are like, these are foundational. They define the format. They are like the things that, you know, create decks and create space for decks to play around in. But what it sounds like you're asking more about are like wonky build arounds. That it's like, oh, it's cool. This
I wouldn't
here.
Say cool, wonky we'll build arounds, but cards that like we've seen that seem like they have a relatively high power level, but they just don't have a deck yet.
See, like, I'm more interested in the first definition.
Yeah, but I was thinking like cards like Vanifar, for example. You know, like some kind of toolbox type deck that hasn't really seen any play.
Yeah, I mean, one of the
One
of the great things to me about Pioneer is that they're all of these cards that were like never strong enough to break through in Modern because they just weren't strong enough and didn't quite have what they needed in Standard to work. But when you put them into Pioneer, they can thrive. And a card like Waste Not, a card like Vanifar, is like, yeah, well, it was too weak in Modern, and it wasn't enough for it to do in Standard. But in Pioneer, you have like the right confluence of things to make it all shine and actually work out.
Like the Oops All Spells thing, right?
Right. Yeah. Like Oops All Spells. I mean, that like it's not really good enough for Modern. Some people will play it there, but in Pioneer, you can actually do the fun, you know, Balustrade Spy, mill yourself, make it all happen style deck. And I think that's really, really cool. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, what you're thinking about is more like wonky build arounds, of which case there's so many. Like every set, it seems, has like a weird build around card. You know, like what Dubious Challenge, right? That's one that people have tried playing in Pioneer. And it's like that's a card that no one would have really wanted to try playing before. But now, well, hey, the card pool is big enough. We can get enough creatures that it could actually work out. So, you know, that's a good example to me of a card that does work in this space.
Okay. Maybe my question wasn't as specific as I wanted it to be. But yeah, I guess that's basically the question I was asking.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think Dubious Challenge is a great one. Like, that card is super cool to me that it specifically gets better because there are more cards in the format. And, but Pioneer is like the right balance of enough stuff to make it work, but not so much stuff that it sucks totally to do. And you can still try and brew around it, which I think is really cool. And any kind of tutoring card like that, of course, has a lot of potentials and possibilities.
What about you, Kevin? Do you have any suggestions that you think are kind of, you know, add a lot to a format? Sorry, some kind of cards that add a lot to the formats? Not so much cornerstones, but...
See, I do still lean more towards the cornerstones. You know, things like a Fire's Invention or a Wilderness Reclamation that are just enabling something, you know, letting you play all kinds of fun things. A Yorian, I think, for me, would be another great example of...
I think the Reclamation's a good example. Yeah, the Reclamation just makes so many of those ramp, you know, instant possibilities, you know, with Expansion, Explosion, and stuff possible. So, okay. And I guess this kind of leads into my last question, which is, you know, we've been talking a lot about synergies that only work in Pioneer. They're, you know, they're not powerful enough for Modern. Is there, like, a synergy or archetype, you know, that you like that really only works in Pioneer, Gavin?
Well, I mean, I know this is kind of a fringe deck, but a deck I always find really, really fun. I've tried to make work in our internal testing forever, and it never works in Standard. But I think in Pioneer, like, it's still not great, but it's, like, close enough and it makes me smile, is the, like, Toughness Matters deck. You know, I don't know if you've played against the, like, Assault Formation Hwatli deck at all in Pioneer. That deck to me is super fun, where you, like, use Tower Defense to overrun people. That's the kind of thing where it's, like, it's never been good enough for any other format. Here you have the right confluence of, like, toughness equals power cards and high toughness cheap creatures to play with. Those kind of defendery, like, strategies are just super fun to me. So, you know, there's nothing like beating someone down with a Arboreal Grazer, you know? It's a good feeling all the way around.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of different takes on that, too. You know, some people, of course, are playing, like, Arcade Sabbath. You know, from M19, and, you know, they also have that new enchantment that gives the toughness and lets people attack. And then other people I've seen playing the Collected Company version with just 1, 2, and 3 drops. So definitely a fun deck.
I remember
deck.
You getting really excited about Umezawa at some point.
Yeah, you can't block. Oh, man, that made it in Japan, I think. I think that was like a Frontier deck. Someone won with Umezawa.
Or go ahead, sorry.
So go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, the challenge with the Arcadia's version is that you have to play a bunch of defenders in your deck, which then, you know, you have to, like, be able to attack. Where you're just playing, like, Laguna Band Trailblazers or whatever, you're just good to go. You know, there's no extra mana. You don't need Arcadia's. You can just battle as soon as you play your tower defense, or as your assault formation, which is really nice.
Well, I guess there's one more thing. Again, this wasn't really on the list of questions. This is something I want to ask Kevin, actually. And again, Gavin, you don't have to say anything. We just want to, since we have your ear here, Kevin, is there any kind of card or any kind of reprints or anything that you'd like to see printed in Pioneer in the future?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, if I've got a designer's ear in the one thing I've been thinking of, you know, I think for me, and I probably have said it on the show, is all of those tribal decks we've talked about and how they kind of need to take pieces from different sets to work together. I feel like tribal decks just never work if they don't have a good one drop. So just give us a good one drop pirate, give us a good one drop spirit, a good one drop bear, a werewolf, whatever it is, everything. We need a one drop in every color and every color, every tribe.
Every tribe.
That might be my that'd be my go to, I think.
And mine, I think, would be just getting the rest of the mana cycles done. You know, just so we can get all types of archetypes viable. So.
You're so nice. You want to help out those people that are playing like
the rest of the
blue-black deck and don't have an allied land fast.
Yeah. Sorry to put you on the spot, Gavin.
No. I mean, I think those are both really great suggestions. The mana one is one that we think about a lot. I know there are uncompleted cycles in the past that could use some completion, too. So that is very much on our mind. As to tribal one-drops, yeah, I think if we're going to support a tribal deck, one-drops are really important, especially for the more aggressive ones. And yeah, I'll just say that's the thing that we've noticed, and I'll leave it at that.
Yay. All right. Well, is there anything else, Kevin, or do you think we should wrap this up?
Yeah, I don't think I need to add to your questions here. Like, I'm going to save this list of questions you have, and I feel like we can kind of turn this into a hot seat thing. You know, next time we've got a guest on, just be like, all right, you've got 10 seconds. What's the first card you'd pick for a Pioneer Brawl? What's the first card you'd pick for your Pioneer Cube? You know, just fire through these, because I think there's a lot of, you know, we kind of covered a lot of different topics in Pioneer that really branch over quite a few subjects. So,
and thanks for,
I think you've certainly grilled them. I'm just, you know, I've been fanboying over here the whole episode, stumbling over my words. Really happy to have you on the show. Cannot thank you enough, Gavin. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, really appreciate everything.
Absolutely my pleasure to be here. And it's been great. Great talking with both of you. It's so cool to finally get to chat again, Ryan, and then Kevin, really nice to meet you. And I appreciate all the hard work you all do here making Pioneer happen. So thank you so much.
And we thank you for the most exciting thing that we do in our lives, which is playing Magic. And thank you for joining us for the other most exciting thing we do, which is talk for hours on end about Magic. You know, basically my two hobbies here.
So we're going to do some shout-outs to end the show?
Yeah, I'll do a quick, just our information. Guys, if you haven't heard from us, we are at MTG Pioneer. It's the best place to reach us on Twitter. We are associated with the MTG Pioneer subreddit. We've got a Discord, The First Pioneers, that you guys can find from there. Those are usually the best ways to reach me, Ryan.
You can find me on Twitter at Yoschwenky, Yoschwenky. I try to post stuff about Magic in Japan a lot, and as well as, you know, my thoughts about Pioneer. And Gavin, do you have any shout-outs or do you have any promotions, anything you want to talk about?
I'll just say, you know, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. The community is so important to me, so you're always welcome to hit me up on Twitter or Instagram or anywhere, really. It's my name, Gavin Verhey, easy to find. And then I have a new YouTube channel called Good Morning Magic, which with new episodes 3 days a week. And I kind of give people an inside look at how we design cards and how we make formats and things like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some Pioneer stuff on there in the future. So Stay tuned for that. And other than that, I just really appreciate you all listening and taking the time to listen to this great podcast. And if you need me, you know where to find me.
I'm going to write that down, YouTube. All right. Thank you guys so much. So once again, we are the First Pioneers podcast. We have the one and only Gavin Verhey on here, and we were, you know, this is fun. I'm still, this was a lot of fun, but thank you guys for listening to all of our supporters out there. Thank you so much. You guys can find us anytime. We are looking to be your go-to source for Pioneer information online. First Pioneers Podcast signing off.